Hi, this is Farah Hürdüzü from New York City for Jerry Pippin Radio Show. And today I have one of my very special guests, Maximilian Lafayette. What does it mean, Ramadoş?
Ramadoş. It's composed of two words, Rama and Dosh. Rama is an old word used by the Habiru, the ancestor of the Jews, and by the Hyksos, the early Armenian, that they ruled Egypt for 100 years, and also by the Anunnaki and by the Sumerian. Rama means a group, people.
Just like Ramayana?
Ramayana. When you add the word I at the end, like you can find this in Persian, in Turkish, Arabic, and Semitic language, like Rami, becomes mine. I give you the sense of belonging. Balta, Baltaji. Rama, Rami, means I belong to, or it belongs to me. Dosh. Dosh is taken from Kadosh. Kadosh is a Kabbalistic word. It's a Assyrian, Aramaic, Hebrew, Arabic. Means holy. Kadus, Kadosh, Kadosh. In Freemasonry, Kadosh is the 18th degree of enlightenment. So the people of enlightenment.
Okay. People who belong to enlightenment.
Correct. That's the correct translation. You're right.
And when we talk about Anunnaki, are they controlling us? Are they monitoring us? Are they still in touch, in contact with us?
No. They created us long time ago, 65,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Lived on Earth here. Went back and came back some 5,000 years before the Common Era, before BC. This is how it explained the missing link between the 65,000 years ago and the 5,000 years before BC, as recorded as the dawn, the beginning of civilization. And they stayed on Earth. They established colonies in Arwad, island of Arwad, Arvados, in Syria, in Phoenicia, Saida, Sidon, Tyre, Baalbek, Byblos, in Iraq, in Mosul, in Basra, in Sumer, in Kamishle, in Antioch, in Turkey. And what you see, Gilgamesh, Marduk, Sargon, Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Esar, all those kings that you read about them, they were Anunnaki.
Were they direct Anunnaki or mixed hybrids?
Absolutely direct, the offspring. But then they dissipate. They dissipate and they vanish.
And are they still in contact with us?
No. They created us as star seed, you know, dust. And they left, they went back to their star, to their planet, to their habitat. Went also to other star system. And they lost interest in us. However, 5-6 years ago, one of them came back, and this made headlines, and people start to criticize me about this crazy idea. One of them came and met with the government in Washington DC.
When did this happen?
6-7 years ago. I know that for a fact.
And was this encounter on the press?
No. This was a secret meeting. And they met in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. One person, I believe the other were 7 or 12 American. some very professor from a leading institution of higher learning, some from a very powerful and important national security agency, and some from an organization that works for the best interests of America abroad.
So what was the goal?
According to a report, the person, the Anunnaki, told them that you people on Earth, you have problem. Now, I'm not going to repeat what other ufologists and wacko and charlatan, they call themselves cosmic channelers or extraterrestrial medium. They receive messages from the star or from Anunnaki. Come on, there's no such thing. So I'm not going to repeat what they say, that they came here because they worry about our nuclear activity. No, they don't worry about that.
Was it happened after September 11, 2001?
No. This has nothing to do with September 11. Of course, it was tragic. 5,000 people died. How about Hiroshima? 700,000 people died. How about the massacre that what you call Alexander the Great? You call him a great. What for great? He destroyed every single civilization in the Middle East.
So what was the goal of this encounter with the American government and the Anunnaki?
Well, the Anunnaki told them, now you got my message. She was a woman. It's not to be to put a halt atomic program. No. It's what every ufologist will tell you. Oh, the UFO came over here and they go over the automatic facilities, they are afraid. No, you do. The only concern was the dealings, the unsigned dealing and treaties. Some government on Earth, they are, matter of fact, one government, but we're not mentioned anymore, had a dealing with some humanoid, anthropoid living on Earth, that they are doing a lot of abduction, the extraterrestrial. So Anunnaki told them, you should stop this. Don't let the gray continue with their interbreeding, with the hybrid program and abducting American women and stealing their eggs. It's not going to happen. They are going to overcome you and rule you. They are creating a new breed to govern America. They laughed. They said, oh, come on, that's crazy. Then, a member of the American team looked at this person, said, how do we know really that this person is extraterrestrial? Are we crazy? She told them, you're not crazy, because already you met with extraterrestrial in 1947, 1949, in 1958. Your president met with us. And she gave them some details. And that some of them were very young. They were not during the time of Eisenhower or Truman. So what she did, something remarkable. She said, look at me, I'm a woman. You say, well, if the Anunnaki is so powerful, why you don't land in the Vatican or in the White House, or just appear in the sky, project yourself on a screen as big as the universe, send a message. And she said to them, this is exactly what you should ask from your God. If he's so powerful, so strong, why does not stop all the genocide? Why did not prevent the Second World War? Why he keep on sending the tsunami? Why he keep on destroying all the old chapel in South Italy? The same thing. But then she stood up and she told them, look at me, I'm a woman. Don't ever forget, she told them, that woman created man on Earth. It's untrue that we women came from the rib of a man, Adam. We are Hawa. The name of the first woman on Earth. And look at me, what I can do, me as Hawa. And in fraction of seconds, she multiplied herself in 30 different copies. They saw 30 different women from, they freaked out.
Were you there in that meeting?
I cannot answer question of this type. 30 different types of her appeared. The woman sitting next to me, the woman sitting at the end of the table, said to a person sitting next to her, who I know, she said, "My God, look at her neck."
Neck?
Her neck. She said, "My God, yeah. She does not move like us. She has to swift all her body to move." One of the copies, the Anunnaki woman told them, number 29 is not me. You can see the difference. This is the genetic hybrid race created by the gray that you have never seen. They live in restricted habitat. This is what is going to happen to your human race. A deformed hybrid quasi-humanoid gray creature. This is what's going to happen to you if you keep dealing with them.
You know, you are very much familiar with Islamic tradition and Arabic language and Turkish traditions as well. So I would like to mention about the jinns.
Yeah.
So it is a very important part of the Arabic mythology before Islam, after Islam. And we accept that jinns are interdimensional beings. So what would be your interpretation on them?
The word jinn, it is, as is pronounced in English, in old Arabic, pre-Islamic, al-jinn, and the feminine format, jinniya, means the spirit who has multiple dimension. Now, this is not only Islamic. Even so, it was mentioned in one of the surat, the 111 surat that consists of the Quran, the Holy Quran. It was mentioned when the Prophet referred to them, as well as in the Hadith Sharif, the dialogue of the Prophet, that King Solomon used the jinn to build his temple and bring the throne of Queen Sheba. So the Quran admitted this, and the Bible admitted this too. Those are spirits, they live in parallel dimension, on earth and between earth, and they can accomplish remarkable deed. They exist in Palmyra, in Petra, in Jordan, and in part of the Arab Peninsula. The jinn lived there for millions of years, for thousands of years, for hundreds of years, and the Bedouin, who know the desert like a snake, you cannot fool a Bedouin. You cannot fool a Bedouin. Who could fool a snake in the desert? You know, they saw many of the jinn. They saw them. And there is a book written about the jinn in Arabic that is out of print. It was printed in 1265 in Cairo, handwritten, and reproduced in 1675 with this remarkable title, or translated. Very famous book. Every lucky, I say, Islamic scholar and people who work with alchemy know about this book. It's part of the Ramadosh called Shams al-Ma'arif al-Kubra. I translated. Almost some of the words are even in your Turkish language, in Farsi, in Arabic. Shams,
sun.
The sun. It is Shemesh and Shams in Aramaic and in Hebrew, in Ugaritic, in Phoenician, in Akkadian and Sumerian. The same word. And the biggest king and god that ruled both at the time of the Hittite and Sumeria was Shamash, the sun god. The same word in all these languages. Hittite, Turkish, Arabic, Islamic, pre-Islamic, Aramaic, Hebrew, Akkadian, Sumerian. The same name. And as you know from history, if one word has the same meaning that appears in so many different languages and almost pronounced the same thing, that is a global truth that made its impact on so many culture. So there is a lot of truth to it. Shams. Al, it means the.
Yes, it is article just like yeah. The Latin language.
Yeah. Shams al. Ma'arif.
Ma'arif.
Ma'arif. Knowledge.
Knowledge,
education. Education. No, it's a little bit than education because thakafa is education. Thakafa. Ma'arif, knowledge. The same in your language in Persian. The same thing. Kubra.
Kabira. Covert. Hidden.
That's the same word. It's the book of the son of the great knowledge. It's all about the jinn, their language.
It's about a kind of the knowledge book
yeah.
that Madame Blavatsky talks about.
Madame Blavatsky talked about it many, many times. She learned from it. And she created diagram and triangle and sphere. Even Aleister Crowley, you know,
yes.
to learn from this book how yes. to call the jinn, how to summon the jinn.
Oh, by the way, yes, Aleister Crowley
yeah.
in 1918,
yeah.
he had a ritual in New York City and he contacted a being that he named Lem.
Lem. Yeah, and he created Lem, yeah. yeah
he correct. Created or he invited, he communicated with him and he made his portrait and it looks like just like the modern Grace. So where do we put Lem in that
that's
case?
Correct. Lem is one of the jinns. And something else I should tell you about it. Nikolai Telsa. Try to contact Lem as well.
Oh, that's interesting. We never heard this before. At least I never heard this before.
Yeah. But for certain he heard about his statement when he said he got contact from extraterrestrial. This is in his book.
Yes, yes. This is what he claims.
He
yes.
claimed. He was talking about this and other spirits. They are the one that he told him about extra galactic communication, about the vibration, how it can propagate and entered multiple dimensions, and he did create two machines that could send human beings in different dimensions. When he died, and before they sent him to Yugoslavia, a very important national security agency went to his hotel in New York. You know
New
that?
Yorker Hotel, yes, I know.
And you know the number of his room?
Yes. No, the number of 1113, I guess.
Yeah.
1113,
third floor.
Right?
They took all his paper.
Yeah. They took his papers, and based on his papers, what did they do?
They developed. We are going to avoid using the word UFO because they'll think we are crazy. So forget UFO. It's a machine that can defy anti-gravity.
Yes. And one more thing. Talking about Anunnaki, where do we put human soul? Did they create the human soul?
Yeah.
And what is the human soul?
You know, soul, it's a very controversial semantic concept. I have a lot of colleagues in the medical field, surgeons, who believe in God. They're Muslim, they're Christian, they're Druze. They go to mosque, they go to church, they believe in God. Yet they told me they have never discovered one single soul. They have operation every day. Every day on people. People they die, people they stay alive, they dig deep in the body of human being before and after their departure. They never found one soul. There is no such thing as soul. You can be Farah a very good human being without following one certain religion or believing in soul. There is no soul in us. There is the mind, the power of the mind. You can hit me on my hand. You can put ice cube on my hand. I concentrate through my conduit, and instead of feeling ice, I will feel fire, and vice versa. Where is the soul in all that? You have only brain. Everything is in your brain. You can't move your foot, your toe, your hand. without a command from your brain.
What happens after the brain dies? What happens after the body dies?
When the cell in the brain die, you die.
What about the soul?
No soul.
What about the reincarnation?
I don't believe in reincarnation. Why?
Do Anunnaki say anything about reincarnation?
Absolutely. They taught us a lot. They said the concept of reincarnation as reinterpreted by human is false. According to the Buddhism and Hinduism, even to the small sects in Syria, Lebanon, the Druze, people come back to learn again. This is BS, because you are not going to learn anything better and more from a human and earth. Still the same old people, still the same earth. We are living on the lowest level of knowledge, and the human being are the lowest life form in the universe. You want to learn more? You go to a higher dimension when you can meet higher spirit, when you can learn something. You don't come back to earth with murderer, killer, revolution, rape, violence against women and children and animal. What, you want to learn more? You have been here before. No reincarnation. You go higher, or the fourth dimension, or the fifth, till the 11th dimension.
So, before we finish this interview, my last question is about 2012. What is going to happen in 2012?
Exactly what happened in the year 2000, when all the swaggo and lunatic ran to Jerusalem. They said, the Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming to save us. And nothing happened. You know how many people committed suicide in the year 2000? This is the end of the universe. Nothing is going to happen in 2012. And I pity all those very famous writer and author in America. He wrote so many books, 2012. They're respectable. They had international bestseller before. But they are cheating the public. And they know it. However, what is going to change the face of history is going to happen in December 2022.
Are we going to see you in the United States in 2012?
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here walking in the park. I'll be here walking in the street and feeding the birds. I'll be here looking at those wonderful ladies with their beautiful Canisian dogs. Very simple, regular day.
So, how do we contact you? How do we get your books? How do we read your books and your magazines? Do you have a website?
First, my books are available at 40,000 booksellers, bookstores and websites. But the easiest way, you go on Amazon.com, you order the book. There are probably 70 books on UFO and extraterrestrial and Anunnaki. They send you the book in 3 days. And then there is the new magazine I published last month, Ufology and Anunnaki Magazine.com. 241 pages. That's it.
And your website?
I don't have a website. I have nothing about myself. But the website of the magazine is enough. I have nothing about myself. And how to reach me? I will know if you want to reach me. I will come to you.
Thank you very much, Maximilian. Welcome.